With What's News from the Wall Street Journal, I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. The Federal Reserve holds its first meeting of 2019 this week, and the Wall Street Journal's Nick Timiraos says the central bank's bond portfolio runoff could take center stage.
The balance sheet is moving back into the spotlight because the Fed has made a lot of progress at their last few meetings, deciding what they're going to do with this thing. At the same time, they've decided they don't really have any urgency to raise interest rates right now. So because the interest rate questions have faded into the background at the same time that the balance sheet discussions have heated up, look for more discussion this week around the balance sheet.
We'll have the details coming up, but first, here are some other top stories we're following. A temporary end to the government shutdown won't necessarily mean a smooth ride at the nation's airports, at least not right away. Wall Street Journal middle seat columnist Scott McCartney says conditions will improve, but it could still take some time for airport operations to return to normal. He recommends leaving extra time to get through security screenings and even considering a postponement to your trip, with some airlines offering waivers for travel changes due to the impact of the shutdown. For more tips, head to our website, WSJ.com. Another blow for Chinese telecom giant Huawei. Vodafone, the world's biggest mobile carrier outside of China, has temporarily halted purchases of some Huawei components for use in the core of its new 5G networks. Vodafone said it made the decision based on uncertainty over whether European governments would restrict Huawei sales. The Chinese company is under scrutiny from the U.S. and others who say Huawei equipment could be used to spy for Beijing. The company has denied those allegations. More consumer goods companies are creating brands exclusively for Amazon. The Wall Street Journal says that's after Amazon found out the burden of developing the brands by itself is too costly and time-consuming. Equal and GNC are among the companies partnering with Amazon to roll out brands exclusive to the platform. Amazon is also expanding the number of its in-house brands. Analysts say there are now more than 100 of them. Still to come, what to expect at the Fed's first meeting of 2019. The Federal Reserve holds its first meeting of 2019 this week. The central bank has signaled a slower pace for rate hikes this year, penciling in just two. And Wall Street Journal reporter Nick Timiraos writes that this week's meeting could also yield more clues about the Fed's plans to end its bond portfolio runoff. He joins us now from Washington with more details. Nick, let's start with a recap of the Fed's last meeting, and certainly a lot has happened since then. How do you expect that could change plans in the new year when it comes to rate hikes, or is it a little too early to alter that plan just yet?
Well, the Fed has been pretty clear in its communications so far this year that they don't see any pressing need to raise interest rates right now, mostly because inflation, which officials thought would be picking up, has not been picking up. The communications have been pretty clear that they are taking a break right now from what had been a quarterly path of interest rate increases for more than a year.
Okay, now let's talk about the Fed's portfolio of Treasury securities, which it began shrinking 2 years ago. You think this issue could take center stage at the Fed's meeting this week based on recent comments from Fed officials. What have you been hearing?
That's right. The balance sheet is a tricky issue because it's this policy tool that they didn't have or that they didn't use before the financial crisis. And recall, during the financial crisis, when they cut interest rates to zero, they wanted to do more to stimulate economic growth. So they bought a lot of treasuries and mortgage-backed securities. And by purchasing these riskier assets with longer maturities, the idea was to try to drive investors into taking on even more risk in real estate and in stocks and in corporate bonds. They began to shrink their holdings in 2017 as the economy firmed up and as they had already raised interest rates a few times. But right now, these discussions around how to manage the balance sheet, they've sort of divorced them from the initial kind of economic reasons for increasing the balance sheet. So decreasing the balance sheet now or ending the runoff of the balance sheet isn't necessarily a sign that they want to provide more or less support to the economy. This entire debate is being driven by technical and operational matters But it's nevertheless a little bit confusing to people because now they read these stories and they say, gee, the Fed could slow down the runoff or end the runoff of its balance sheet. Is that because they think the economy needs more help? And the answer right now is no. It's really because there are these kind of monetary plumbing issues that are forcing them to decide when to stop the runoff of the balance sheet.
And Nick, what about criticism from President Trump and others who have blamed the runoff for market volatility like we saw in the final months of 2018, for example?
You know, the Fed has been quite dismissive of the idea that the runoff of their treasury and mortgage holdings is responsible for the volatility. So the fact that they don't really believe that those claims are true makes it harder to suggest that they would then stop the runoff because they're worried about volatility. Now, it's possible that investors have become less certain or more confused about the Fed's long-run plans. The fact is, when the Fed began to shrink these holdings in 2017, they never said how long the process would last. And it fed the impression that it might go on for a very long time. But it now looks like that isn't going to be the case, again, because of some of these technical matters revolving around what is the demand for the Fed's liabilities. The Fed has these assets, but against the other side of the balance sheet, you have liabilities. The Fed's largest liability is currency in circulation. So as the currency grows, the Fed needs to hold more assets against that. The other major liability for the Fed are the reserves that banks hold, as they're effectively deposits. And so those considerations now are really what is leading the Fed to consider when they might stop the runoff of their holdings. And this is a question they've never really answered. They've said they don't know how long the process will go because they don't know what the demand is for their liabilities. So as they get a better handle on what the demand is for their liabilities, that's going to determine when they stop this whole thing of running down the balance sheet.
And Nick, given the history here, what have we learned about the size and makeup of the portfolio that the Fed is aiming for? As you write, that's never been explicitly stated.
Yeah, that's a really important question, and it's one that's probably gotten less attention than it should have. The Fed believed when they bought these securities that, again, by taking on assets with longer maturities, that would provide support to the economy because you were pushing investors to hold even riskier assets. Now the question is, they have to decide what composition of treasury holdings do we want to have when we stop shrinking the balance sheet. They still have a lot more duration in their portfolio, meaning they have far more assets with 10 and 30 year maturities than they used to. And so that's still providing support to the economy. And it's possible that even if they end up with a much larger balance sheet than seemed likely several years ago, if they decide to concentrate their holdings and move their holdings back to shorter-lived assets like treasury bills that mature after just a few months, that would actually provide less support to the economy. So people focus on the size of the holdings, but they should also pay attention to the duration of the holdings, because if you believe that the bond purchase programs had some effect for the economy, you really were focused on the duration of the holdings, and that should still be the case now. Pay attention to the duration of the holdings. And the Fed has been talking about actually shifting their composition of their treasury holdings back towards shorter-lived assets, which would be a way to provide less support to the economy than if you were to hold longer-lived assets.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Nick Timiraos with a look ahead at what we might hear at the Fed's meeting this week. Nick, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for the Wall Street Journal.